This is Tegucigalpa, the capital of Honduras, the Central American country with the highest homicide rate in the world. 90.4 deaths out of every 100,000 people, according to the United Nations. Get a glimpse of the composition, interviews with inmates, life, living conditions. We visit prisons in Honduras, where across the board, according to the country's officials, there is 175% to overcrowding. Our mission is to interview inmates and get a glimpse of the overcrowded living conditions and the way of life within.
We have managed to make an appointment with the director of the Comayagua Penal Center, which more closely resembles a penitentiary. The difference between the two being that inside a penitentiary, the inmates have little more freedom and they can also cultivate vegetables. This was the place where more than 350 prisoners died in a fire in 2012. This is a security measure applied by authorities here to identify the visitor from the inmate. Let's go now.
In Honduras, there are 24 penitentiaries in operation. But that's not enough. The penal institutions in this country are on free land, which means it is land not under law, and thus it is a law unto itself. Survival of the fittest. Built with a capacity to house 8,500 prisoners, today this penitentiary is packed with a reported 14,000 inmates. From the start, we are accompanied by the warden. Access to any penitentiary by media outlets is not permitted by the central government, but as it happens, we are welcome. The first things we are shown are the bunk beds inside the cells, which are essentially required in order to accommodate the many inmates. The whole place runs like a small city with their own economy and organization. We come across vegetable suppliers as evidence of a working economy.
What do we have here? What are you selling here?
Right now, I have zapata, potatoes, onions, watermelon, avocado, and pepper.
This is a zapata?
Yes.
How much is it?
5 lempiras.
How much is that in US dollars?
Almost nothing.
It's around 20 cents.
Yes, 20 cents.
So in the Comayagua penitentiary economy, this zapata costs 20 cents. What is the cost of an onion and a pepper to cook some beans for dinner?
It goes from 5, 4, 3, depends on the weight.
Do you sell a lot?
Right now, there's a lot of competition.
There are other sellers?
Yes.
Here, everything has a price, and sometimes it costs twice as much, especially when you have survived a fire that caused the death, either burnt alive or asphyxiation, of other cellmates. Tiberio survived the incident, but he sustained permanent damage to his body.
Were you here in 2012?
Yes, I was. Look.
These are the burns from the fire in 2012?
Yes.
Tiberio, can you tell us about the fire? What happened? Something that you remember?
No.
There's no problem, don't worry.
I can't.
You have permission to talk about it.
Well, the thing is that I can't remember.
Does it still hurt when you remember it?
Tiberio hesitates. He is nervous due to the presence of the warden. He doesn't want to say something that could induce any kind of punishment by the bosses that rule on the inside. Beside him, an intimidating figure strolls by. Then another one. It's obviously not a good topic to talk about around here.
In less than 5 minutes, everything was on fire. Inside the cells, you could see the first bodies. And after some time, they extinguished the flames.
What did they do when they heard people inside the fire calling out?
Nothing.
Throughout our tour, we are never left on our own, always accompanied by two guards, plus the head of the penitentiary. We notice also that they are not armed, We learn about the internal businesses, a corrupt network, but it seems to benefit everyone. Here, you can purchase food, drink, and even ice cream. In order to buy one of these places, around $1,500 must be paid to the right people.
Did you pay in cash?
Yes, of course.
When you say that it has been arranged, what do you mean by that?
The director has to be aware of every transaction and has to accept it.
It seems that every single move here needs permission from the director.
It's normal for an illegal payment system to exist in a penitentiary. Right now, I don't know exactly how honest the new directors are in relation to cases of accepting any money that's been collected, because it does go on. Before, they used to do things and pay the directors, but right now, we don't have precise or reliable information about it.
We don't have to wait long to see the first potential weapon held in the hands of a prisoner. Being in possession of any blunt object is supposedly forbidden, but there it is, and it can be seen in plain sight by the officials.
In recent years, there has been a kind of demonization of poverty, I would say. If you visit the different penitentiaries, you'll find people there with very limited means, poor with few exceptions. This is related to politics, to the policies of the state among those every president promotes during his time in office.
Around 20 people are sent to this prison each day, which adds to the already overcrowded conditions and contributes to long delays in the dispensation of justice, a fact that can cause a detainee deprivation of liberty for up to 2 years waiting to go to trial.
I am not sentenced yet. In May, I have to go and see about my case.
So you've been here 2 years without being processed?
Yes, in 2 months. It will be 2 years since I first arrived here.
2 years?
Yes.
Tasas de hacinamiento en todas partes son altas, ¿verdad? Y, por ejemplo, la dificultad que tiene el Estado para resolver la mora judicial, que es otra cosa, que tenemos casi una paridad entre mora.
The rate of overcrowding is very high everywhere, but also it's the difficulties of the state to solve delays in the dispensation of justice. Right now, there's inefficiency between delays and sentencing. It's something that should be done within a specified time so that people don't call the human rights organizations to condemn their imprisonment and detainment without any trial. The infrastructures of the prison are deplorable. The administration is insufficient. Why? We have several military officers running some of the prisons without having the appropriate knowledge for this operation. Some of them believe that they are still in the army dealing with soldiers and not with civilians that have been deprived of their freedom, but still have their civil rights.
Tratando con personas que no han perdido su condición de ciudadano, que el Estado solamente les ha privado de su libertad de movilización, pero que el resto de los derechos permanecen.
The Honduran government made some amendments to Article 148 of the Penal Procedure Code, eliminating alternative measures to pretrial detention for more than 21 serious crimes. President Juan Orlando Hernandez announced heavy-handed policies for the penitentiaries across the country.
As you know, for more than 20 years, the prisons have been controlled by the prisoners, and they have become schools for crime. Moreover, there has not been a difference in treatment between those who have committed misdemeanors and those who have committed felony crimes.
Another decision he made was to transfer the command and control of the prison to the military. By this action, they were expecting to be able to gain control of the inmates. But it has yet to show that result. During the recording of this documentary, three prison riots took place in Honduras, the most violent of which occurred in the city of San Pedro Sula, where the most dangerous prison in Honduras is located.
No, it has not improved, because if you remember yesterday, the riot that took place in this penitentiary was not actually supposed to happen. There are military controls, apart from the guards that are meant to block the smuggling of weapons and drugs in and out. As you can see, this is a situation that continues. There have been some cases of penitentiaries that have been cleaned up. But just a few days later, there are drugs and weapons again in those centers.
Hey, men, hide behind a tree. I don't want to go to a funeral today.
As a result of the recent riots, 3 prisoners are dead and 3 wounded, not to mention the wounded soldiers. The transfer of the so-called toros, those who control the penitentiaries, sparked the riots.
After we took control of that section of the penitentiary, 7 weapons were found. One of the military police officers was actually wounded by a gunshot, according to the reports we have received to date. How can you explain to a person deprived of their freedom that the use of weapons, when and as they wish, is not allowed inside the penitentiary? It isn't possible. For decades, this has been the reality in this country, but not anymore.
According to what I've seen, they are not suitably qualified to efficiently run these penitentiaries. This is a personal opinion I have, but the way these prisons are run by the military is worse than the way they run their own headquarters. They forget the role they are playing is civil, not military. They have engaged in a technical activity that should be done by trained and qualified personnel in this field and according to human rights.
Profesionales capacitados y formados en el tema de la administración penitenciaria, vista esta desde el contexto de los derechos humanos.
It is not an easy task to live in jail in this country, to live with murderers, drug dealers, and gangs like the 18 and the Mara Salva Turucha. In addition to this, inside these prisons, there is no health care and no educational or work system, and so they have to deal with constant case of abuse, like this complaint. According to the National Human Rights Commissioner, in the last 4 years in Honduras, at least 500 inmates have died due to violent events or tragedies inside prison. The most well-known was the fire in Camayagua, in which 360 people died. Some of them were burned to death, some by asphyxiation, and others that tried to escape from the fire were shot by the guards. The families remember the incident as if it was yesterday.
It's always hard for me on this particular day because one can be a very bad person or make a lot of poor choices. But I think he didn't deserve to end like this.
Do you think that your brother was thinking about you in that moment?
The same day of the incident, He called me and told me to send him some dinner.
Some others not only lost a relative, but their elder sons.
They used to tell me that they were going to build a new house for me. I asked God to help me and give me strength because life is hard.
They had told you that they were going to build you a new house?
Yes, they did. They said, "Mom, don't worry. We are going to build a house for you."
We are also aware of a very serious fact that no one wants to talk about. The fire was not an accident, but provoked by the guards.
Did they set fire to the penitentiary?
No, it was... Yes, they set it on fire. It was not an accident. There was a doctor there, and he is the reason there was an order to set it on fire. They even said that the 13 soldiers on duty that day were sentenced to house arrest, but I have not heard anything more on that. We were told that they had to pay for what they did with 5 years in prison, but not house arrest.
So they pretended to kill a doctor, and that's why 300 people died?
Yes, they are saying that the doctor had killed someone from Spain. It was some kind of revenge.
And the authorities were aware of it, I suppose?
Yes, they knew because there were many witnesses, but there is not any more. There was a guy who lived near the penitentiary who got killed because he was filming the incident and showed the video. He's dead and he was young, about 27 years old.
Others who have been killed were...
They were inmates from the penitentiary, but they were in another area and also appeared as witnesses. They are all dead.
They were killed by order of the government?
Yes.
Why? To keep them from talking?
Yes, to keep them from talking because they said the truth. They said that they had thrown bottles with gas, an oil lamp, for example. It's a bottle of gas with a wick, and they threw it.
Then they saw everything?
Yes, they did.
Who threw the bottles?
The police officers on duty that night.
It wasn't only the male prisoners that we were able to communicate with. Here we have the National Women's Penitentiary, which was built in 1973 with a capacity for 70 inmates. Today there are more than 300 women, and almost all of them are nursing mothers. When the children reach the ages of 5 or 6 years, they are forcibly separated from their mothers. This, by the way, is the only prison in the country without an overcrowded population.
She's pregnant and needs some support. They should send her to rest during this time at least, until she can deliver her baby, because she suffers from anemia.
How many weeks pregnant are you?
8 months. I need to get permission to go home, at least during my pregnancy. I'm not sentenced yet, but I've been in prison for a year now.
Well, the treatment of the children and the pregnant women here is good. When you go into labor, they have a police car to take you to the hospital. No, I have to stay for some time because I'm still under process, not sentence.
I brought my daughter here when she was 6 months old. It's hard for a mother. I'm very depressed because I don't know how I'm going to cope when they take her away from me.
The kids can run and play freely, oblivious to their reality, guiltless, living among families of strangers. There is no other choice for them. When they become 6, they will have to leave the only place they know as home, without their mothers, and without understanding what's happening to them. Honduras has only 4 juvenile detention centers, and the most troublesome is called Renaciendo, which means being reborn.
Some 400 young people under 18 years old reside in these institutions. They are here mostly because they are caught up in gangs and maras. Their situation is not much better here. Numerous among them can and do escape, and the government is not able to stop them. The facilities do not have the best standards.
¿Qué es lo que ha pasado? El tema se fue realmente de la mano.
The fact is that this situation has gotten out of the state's control. Right now, the system is not working as an effective model for social rehabilitation and reintegration. These young people, who are now part of gangs, did not receive any help from the state, their own parents, or any legal tutor, have suffered from a violation of their rights since they were 3 or 4 years old, which is 16 or 17 years ago, and now they are violating the law.
When new inmates arrive, this place becomes overcrowded. There are usually about 15 or 16 of them, and it becomes very hot in here. We must share one mattress between 2 or 3 people. Also, to take a shower is difficult.
If you're thirsty, how do you drink water?
When there is water, we have to fill bottles.
At such a young age, they have killed, kidnapped, or committed any number of crimes. The visits to these young inmates, however, are a bit more flexible, and they don't tend to be taken and separated from their families.
Your brother was a member of which gang?
The 18 gang.
When did he become a member?
I was told that he was 13, but I don't know exactly when. But he has been with them for a while.
He became a member when he was 13?
I think so, but I don't have accurate information because it was only when the police were already after him that I kind of found out.
The Observatory of Violence says that young people between the ages of 15 and 35 years are the victims of the violence endemic across the nation. They not only fight with other gangs, but are also followed and killed by the police, according to this testimony.
We found out that a friend of a friend was murdered by the police.
The police killed him?
He was kidnapped. He was not taken to any police station, but taken in an unmarked white car. The people in the car were wearing bulletproof vests, and a week later they found his body.
You're saying they were police and they killed him?
Exactly.
Instead of taking him to...
to a police station. That happened in Tegucigalpa. We found out that he was dead. You know that every gang has its own structure. Some of them are shooters, some are not. Some are drug dealers, and others are killers. They specialize in different activities.
The Department of Legal Medicine went to this juvenile center and exhumed 4 bodies found buried in a mass grave. No person in authority and any inmate made any denouncement of the finding. A fear reflex of the lack of government control. In Honduras, the number of prisoners is growing by the day, and so too are the problems that causes. The walls will, however, continue talking about the grim reality, which authorities are trying desperately to silence.